I'm Grady Booch, and this is my column on architecture, tribal memory. In Native American cultures, the tribal storyteller's role is set apart. It is held sacred. Given the absence of a written language, storytellers are the major and necessary container of each tribe's traditions. Through song, dance, and oral stories, the elders preserve their tribe's history and values and communicate these to the young. Quite often, these stories are made manifest in rituals whose meaning is both deep and multi-layered. The storytellers thus hold the essence of that group. Without the memories they retain and communicate to the rest of the tribe, there's no sense of the past, and thus no hope for a meaningful future. From such stories, we can experience the texture of each specific culture. Creation myths, heroic myths, stories that explain why the world is the way it is and how it will unfold, all these together form the fabric that binds group members together and gives that group its unique identity. Storytelling isn't limited to individual tribes, it's also an important element of every civilization. Records from the Zhou dynasty in China, dating back to 1200 BC, speak of storytellers who collected and distributed its people's traditions. Anne Pulaski, in her book The World of Storytelling, documents the role of storytelling throughout Europe and Africa. As she notes, the storyteller's function was to create and or perform poetic oral narrations that chronicle event or praise the illustrious forebearers and present leaders of a tribal, cultural, or national group. Aesop's Fables, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Iliad and the Odyssey, the Song of Roland, the story of Sigrid, Deirdre of the Sorrows, and many, many other tales were memorized by countless bards and told again and again. Their tellings were more than just pure entertainment. Rather, they served as a codification of the stories that defined the past and gave the present identity. Similarly, storytelling has been an important part of the world's major religions. Hasidic Judaism views storytelling as a sacred practice. The stories in the Torah were likely transmitted from one group to another by storytellers. According to traditional belief, many of the verses that Muhammad revealed were first memorized and eventually written down by his followers, and thus preserved until the Quran itself was codified. In each case, the storytellers who had committed the verses to memory were themselves revered as sacred vessels who served to connect the divine to the sacred. Storytelling, being a human activity, is unfortunately an unreliable transport mechanism for information. There is considerable noise in the process. We sometimes omit or change details, or put a different spin on a particular event to satisfy a specific motive for any given telling. Words and phrases themselves are always subject to interpretation and misunderstanding, and different storytellers reporting on the same anecdote often introduce contradictory elements. In short, the storytelling itself creates the reality of the past, preserved in the contemporary voice of these storytellers and renewed with each fresh telling. In the fullness of time, unless the stories are actively preserved, their deep and multi-layered semantics can evaporate, and we can lose the meaning behind their rituals and stories. In the worst case, a cultural chain of storytellers is broken through death or a catastrophe that rends its artifacts, such that all remains of its history is the shell of the myth. Mind you, the concept of stories that become part of a group's tribal memory isn't just inclusive to rituals associated with the human condition. We can find stories attached to every human artifact and discipline as well. To become a great chef, you don't just read books, which codify practice, but rather you study under a great chef's tutelage. To become a skilled civil architect, you don't just read about old buildings, you build some under the supervision of more senior architects who have built many buildings before and know the unwritten rules of thumb. To become an effective civil servant, you listen to the stories of your elders who know where the skeletons lie, how the system really works, and how to work the system. In each case, these senior chefs, architects, and politicians are the storytellers who preserve the memory of their particular domain and, both intentionally as well as informally, communicate that memory to the rest of the tribe. Developing software, another human activity, also involves storytelling, some institutionalized and some quite intimate. Use cases, scenarios, and user stories are all examples of institutionalized storytelling. In Agile methods, stories are an important deliverable that codify structure and behavior. In more formal methods, use cases and scenarios represent requirements that developers track through the lifecycle. Although the artifacts are themselves important, the process of creating these stories is more important. Creating such stories forces a dialogue among the stakeholders who hold an interest in each story. When done right, this dialogue is continuous. It proceeds through the development lifecycle, eventually reaching a point of stability. When done right, this dialogue is also interactive. There are no perfect answers, but the act of dialoguing makes us raise questions, challenge assumptions, and eliminate risks, leading to a good enough answer. When done right, the dialogue builds trust among the stakeholders and in the end yields a shared understanding. Sit in the corner of a healthy development organization for a day and you'll witness a more intimate, more informal kind of storytelling. Developers will come together in a conference room or a cubicle, talking and often sketching on a whiteboard some evolving idea that they then discuss. People will come together in pairs or slightly larger groups in a common meeting, the lunchroom, the office supply closet, the lobby, the game room, and just talk about life and the development problems that are alive for them at that moment. In such moments, people tell stories, and those stories become part of the textures of the group, giving it identity. Distributed groups face physical and temporal barriers to such intimacy. Opportunistic connections are harder if you are 12 time zones away from your colleagues. This is the water cooler problem of collaborative development environments. As I discussed in a previous column, speaking truth to power, raw, naked running software is the ultimate truth of any software development project. However, while the code might be the truth, it isn't the whole truth. The code lacks the creation stories, the heroic stories, the stories that explain why it's the way it is and why it will unfold. While some coding stories are made manifest in rituals via formal change policies, release governance, and code reviews, and are thus told and retold, most are lost to time. When I conduct an archaeological dig on a software-intensive system, I find some stories and the architecture in documentation containing artifacts that the group considers sacred. I can glean some, but surprisingly few of the stories from the code. Most of the stories are part of the tribal memory and thus live in the heads of a small number of storytellers, namely the architects, senior designers, project managers, and code warriors. For this reason, when I conduct a dig, I have to go to these people, sit down with them, and get them to tell their stories. Because software developers, by and large, aren't seasoned storytellers either, this takes work. Often, they've never had the opportunity or need to tell the whole story. They typically only tell fragments at a time. For anything but the most simple project, often no one person knows the whole story. Yet another reason why observing a software-intensive system's architecture from multiple viewpoints is important. Sadly, quite often these stories are lost to time. The storytellers move on to other projects or organizations. In short, most organizations don't try to preserve and then communicate the project's history, values, and myths. That is, its essential design decisions and design patterns. In the best of such situations, the loss of information steadily increases. In the worst of such situations, the storytellers walk out of the door, leaving those behind to study the bleeding system's entrails in an effort to grok its underlying truth. As the code written today becomes part of tomorrow's inexorably growing pile of legacy, preserving these stories becomes increasingly important. It's costly to rely on informal storytelling to preserve and communicate important decisions. It's incredibly costly to try to recreate those decisions and their rationale when the stories themselves are gone. Insofar as a software development organization can codify its tribal memory and keep its decisions alive, it can make evolving that system materially easier. I'm not advocating song and dance, of course. Our discipline doesn't necessarily honor those kinds of storytelling skills. Rather, preserving these stories in a system's written architecture is an important start in preserving a project's oral history, thus giving a sense of the past and hope for a meaningful future.